Six o'clock, yeah. Who's got the...
Does that mean it's happy hour?
Oh, he corrected the clock. My apologies, guys.
Isn't that saying it's 5 o'clock somewhere?
Okay, there you go. Arizona time.
Yeah.
Okay. 6 o'clock. Oh, let's see. Good evening, everybody. I guess it's 6 o'clock. Let's get ready and start the meeting. This is the monthly meeting of the San Carlos Estates Water Control District. Is called to order at 6 p.m. on April 20th, 2026. We're at the Gulf Shore Life Center located at 25300 Burnwood Drive in Bonita Springs, Florida. A quorum is present. Thank you all for coming this evening. Glad to see you. Man, I wish every chair in here would be full. That'd be really nice. Roll call, Chairman Jim Bradford, Vice Chair Jennifer Finazzo, Engineer Ron Edenfield, and by the way, James
Gilchrist
is absent this evening. And right now his daughter is in different things at school, and they happen to coincide on this evening, and that'll be over shortly, and he'll be back on schedule with us. Attorney Richard Pringle, Manager, Superintendent of Operations, and a whole other list of things. Secretary Treasurer Chanel Cruz. Thank you, Chanel, for your hard work. Tell you what, she's got her heavy weight on her shoulders right now. Everybody, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation, and Pastor Riley will lead us in both of those.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you stay standing, Lord, we just thank you that you answer our prayers and that you hear our prayers. I ask you tonight that you have your hand upon the board and upon all the people here. You give us wisdom, understanding, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Moving forward, we're going to go ahead and take the engineer report. Ron Edenfield.
Thank you, sir. Since the last board meeting, we currently have 36 applications for right-of-way occupations in various stages of review. We have, since the last meeting, received three new applications, one of which we'll discuss later in just a bit. We did not finalize any permits during the past month and conducted some 10-odd inspections. We did have a reporting of an illicit dumping on Waterfall. The matter was addressed, the material was removed and properly disposed of, and we will make note of that in our upcoming MS4 report for illicit discharges. We had a reporting of an illegal dumping of lawn clippings on the far bank of the Mariah Canal adjacent to the villages of Bonita. We investigated that, took a look at it, took photographs and shared those with the City of Bonita Springs Code Enforcement, and they are looking into the matter. Chanel also reached out to Pegasus Property Management, who are the property managers for villages of Bonita. And they're in the process of investigating it from their side. It clearly looks like somebody is coming in from that side of the canal and dumping material. It looks mainly like just clippings.
Yeah.
Lawn clippings. Debris. And but they're sloughing off into the canal, and that's of course a concern for us. So we'll follow up on that to get that resolved.
Places under the
we're currently preparing edits to the documents that we have for right-of-way use, right-of-way occupation, and the permits. I want to pass these along, Chanel, if you pass these down. One of the biggest issues we've had since we've been involved with the permitting process is getting a decent site plan so that we can approve that site plan, detailing out what it is the permit is actually authorizing. They come in everything from looks like magic marker on toilet paper to professionally done engineering plans. It's just the whole gambit. So my staff got together and they came up with a real quick and simple, it's typical.
If anybody would like to review this, I'm going to put it on the back of the
This will be the typical plan. It contains all the general notes and all the erosion control notes, and it can be provided by the applicant to their contractor. It tells them how where the culvert's supposed to be, left or right from the property lines, where the best management practices are supposed to be to control sediment and silt, the minimum cover over the pipe, all the things that are essential to maintaining a good program for consistent maintenance of our system in the application. So just wanted to share that with you. The blue areas are actually fillable lines, and to keep things even simpler, the pink areas are drop-down menus. So in keeping with the new millennium, we're moving San Carlos Estates into that era.
Nice.
Trying to, anyway.
So. Thank you.
But we're also doing a complete rewrite of the right-of-way manual. Currently, it's about 129 pages long and has reams of paper in it that simply repeat FDOT standard indexes, most of which are currently crossed out because they're not applicable. So we're completely removing that and adding back in by reference. So we'll be referring to the current FDOT standard index for things like mitered end sections or other aspects that we want to have built in accordance with the FDOT standards. We'll be referring to the FDOT document itself, and thereby we will be referring to the most current version of that document rather than carrying forward a 20-year-old version of the document. So we're working to streamline that and to simplify some of the language, a little more clarification based on our findings and experience with things that have been hang-ups for some of the applicants. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Well, I've got you on the DOT stuff for a minute. I know that the board originally set the speed limits out here and can adjust and do the speed limits on our streets. These were done many, many years ago, and we're not looking to change any of them, at least not at the moment. Where do they, once they get decided upon by this board, who registers that with the county, the state, whoever? Because my GPS on my truck is inconsistent with our roads' speed limits. Somebody in earlier years apparently registered the speed limits on our roads at a different speed than they currently are. Now, strike lane is 35 miles an hour. The side roads are registering at 20. So I just wondered, where does this get registered? Who makes that record that the GPS would have this, or is it just a hypothetical thing and an error that was made? This is a meeting at the moment.
To the best of my knowledge, there is no registry.
Okay.
There is no
How would the approval process? How would the GPSs then record speed limits?
Well, I guess if it's on the internet, it must be true, right?
Okay. I was trying to avoid the internet thing, but now that you've thrown it out there,
if I had to answer the question, which looks from your look, you're going to ask me to answer that question. it would be a function of the width of the pavement.
Okay.
And though I don't know of any place where that's published anywhere, I think that that would be a function of why it's registered at 20, or why it shows up as 20, the width of the road.
That may have been done when the roads were dirt.
It's possible.
And or at the very beginning of the paved roads when they first got paved.
It's possible.
Or it was never done, and it's just somebody threw it, like you said. But I was just curious how those numbers come about, because every highway I drive on, my GPS on my speedometer records the speed limit and tells me whether I'm speeding or not. So,
and typically highways are designed for a certain speed.
Yeah, well, we all are aware of what they are, but who ultimately, okay, I see we don't know the answer to that. I'm going to try to look into it to find out, and I see that I had a person that might know. So in his 3 minutes, maybe he'll come up and tell us.
That would be great.
Okay.
I would love to know. Like I said, okay. As far as I know, there is no registry.
Okay.
Anywhere.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Okay. Moving on now. Mr. Pringle, I've shared with Mr. Pringle a document that is the FGCU Research Service Agreement, which is on the agenda tonight for signature, and I'll leave that discussion until that point in time. Would note that we also assisted with the District Council, Mr. Pringle, to forward the water control plan to the South Florida Water Management District for review. It's currently held up waiting on response back from South Florida as to whom it should be addressed to. They, as any good government, they have their own department for those sorts of things. The last item I have is we did receive a right-of-way improvement application from Mr. and Mrs. Monteiro. They're requesting to put a change a stone driveway to a paver driveway within the San Carlos Estates Water Control District right-of-way. That application is under review. We still have a few questions that we're looking to get answers on. But being that it is an out-of-the-district application, my understanding is that can only be approved by the board. So we'll be bringing that to the board hopefully next month for your approval. And in the meantime, if you would give some thought to any special conditions that would be applicable to this. We're currently proposing that, and we would include at least the one special condition. There may be others as we move through the review process, but our thought is that it be approved for a use by a single family residence, and that any additional residences that wish to use that driveway would require a permit modification, simply to ensure that it was to be used by a single family residence, not half a dozen or so. So we'll be placing that condition on it. But in the meantime, some thought as to what conditions may be appropriate for approval on for property outside the district to connect to the district right away. And we'll have that ready to come back to the board next month for discussion.
Yeah, at the moment we've got a couple of those, not applications, but currently have the city that's already put in drainage into our system. Mm-hmm. We've got the cement plant that's already put drainage into our system, and now these things all need to be figure out how we're going to handle them.
Only if at some point you'd like to discuss the cement plant, be glad to do that. There's we're coordinating with City of Bonita Springs on sharing some information with respect to permit authorizations and such on that. And we've got some concerns that I'll be talking to Mr. Pringle about over the course of the next month and have further discussion with that on for the board next month.
That's fair enough.
I do have a question about the Monteiro property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have some lots that are able to, if it's one parcel, they're able to split and become separate parcels. Does he have the possibility of doing that in the future? I mean, obviously, it's almost 15 or 16 acres, so there's probably many parcels combined back there. Or if it's one large parcel, if he does split it in the future, how would that then affect us as a district?
With that condition, it would require them to come back and modify the permit.
Okay.
And that's the end of my report.
Thank you very much. Manager's report.
All right. Okay, last month we had some concerns about four-wheelers or ATVs driving in the back area of Strike Lane closer towards Imperial. And I actually did see some kids in the area. It was late one night. It's actually, I think, right after our meeting last month. And the next morning I went out and I was able to determine that they were coming in through an empty lot kind of across from Cock Robin, and then they would come out through a new build on Whippo Well. I haven't heard too much anymore because I'm thinking the house that they were coming out of, the new build, is almost complete, so I'm hoping that will stop them. But again, if anyone hears any ATVs, four-wheelers behind their properties, please call the Sheriff's Department. There's not really much we can do as a district. And I wouldn't want anyone out there, you know, yelling at random strangers late at night anyways. The second thing, the Mariah Canal that Mr. Edenfield talked about, I did talk to the manager from the Villages of Bonita. She's checking into that. I'm going to follow up with her probably within the week and just see if there's any progress made and take it from there. Otherwise, we did receive a proposal, and I did give it to the board for the vegetation control. So that's something that I'd like the board to take a look at and make a determination of what they would like to do going forward as far as the vegetation control. And the last item, second to last item, the gate. Always an issue with the gate. It was about three times this month. One time a resident knocked it down because they were following a car too closely. We were able to get the gate back on without having to contact the gate company. A second incident, it was just wear and tear. The brushings were bad, so it was out of commission for about 2 days. That was fixed. And then shortly after that, somebody hit the gate again. So we have now, we have some extra gate arms, so we don't have to wait for the gate company to come out and deliver them. So if anything were to happen, we can pop the arms on quicker than waiting for them to deliver new ones. And something that was addressed is I'm going to order a sign that says one car at a time, so that way people don't try to follow another car and knock the gate off. Just the KISS method, I guess. Hopefully if they read the sign, they won't knock the gate off. And then the last item is we've received three resumes now for the manager's position. I believe we should have another one coming in soon. So I would like to suggest that the board start reviewing the resumes, or if the board wants me to maybe make notes or interview or whatever I can do to assist the board in order to get a full-time manager, a permanent replacement, please let me know. And that is it for the manager's report.
Are you applying for the job?
I am not. I would prefer to stay the secretary treasurer.
Then based on the fact that I would ask the other board members to allow you to look at them to begin with, bring us a top recommendation and a second recommendation.
Okay.
And then let the board choose from that and from your recommendations, because you have time during the course of the month to interview and to review them and to hopefully bring us somebody who will do the job as qualified as we can for it, okay?
Okay.
That's what I would like.
I agree.
Okay, then you...
Okay, all right, very good.
I don't think that requires a motion, does it, Mr. Pringle?
No, sir.
Okay. Anything else?
That is it for the manager's report.
You know, I'm just going to add that along with the fact that the gates haven't been down in about 3 weeks now, right?
Right.
Okay, so we've been pretty lucky for the past 3 weeks. Don't anybody make any phone calls and ask somebody to take them down for us. I've had a time when I put them up three times in one day. So, but right now it looks like we're doing pretty good. We've chosen to leave up the old arms for right now and see how long they last before we actually have to get new ones. I've taken them and cut them, spliced them together, and put new tape on them. And I even added the flags this past month, which seemed to get a lot of attention because I've had a number of phone calls on them. Some of the things that happen is that some of the new cars today are aluminum, mainly for Ford trucks. So, and they're pulling sometimes an aluminum boat trailer with a fiberglass boat. We have a magnetic field underneath the gate system that if you're on it and you have steel, the gates should not come down on top of you. And we do test that so we know it works. But if you don't have enough metal, then the gates can't identify that you're there and they'll come down on you. So, and like Chanel said, I guess you're going to get a sign and put it up there and see if that helps any. I don't know if people, if they can't see the gates, how they're going to read a sign. But anyway.
Trying to do anything we can to not get these gates knocked.
That's why we put the flags on them.
Yeah.
hopefully that it just gets a little more attention. Maybe we need to add some steel bars down from all.
Maybe I'll do the sign in reflective yellow so that way they can even see it at night.
They break a couple windshields, maybe they'll figure this out. But okay, that's all I got. Treasurer's report.
All right. Well, this is going to be kind of sweet. Nothing out of the ordinary has happened in March. We're pretty much done with the audit. I hope to have it finalized by the end of the month. And Mr. Tuscan will be here. Fortunately, he can't come next month. He's got a prior engagement, so he will be here in June to present. But yep, we're pretty much, I want to say, about 90% done with that, and I anticipate it being completed by the end of April.
Okay. Next month, why don't you move the treasurer's report underneath the manager's report until you're no longer the acting manager.
Sounds good.
Then we can just go from one to the other. Okay. Okay. Mr. Pringle, you're up. Make sure you get the mic there so everybody can hear you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. This evening, I have two items to discuss. One is on your agenda, one is not on your agenda. The one that is on your agenda relates to the FGCU agreement. As Mr. Edenfield indicated, we have received an agreement from FGCU, and the agreement is a good agreement. This is an updated agreement compared to the one that they provided to us several years ago when we did some other work. We had some input on that other agreement, and this agreement looks much, much better. In particular, an item that that I look for is the termination provision in an agreement like this. And this one has a termination provision that says either party may terminate the agreement in whole or in part at any time without penalty or cause by giving 30 days written notice to the other party. That is important for us to have, and this is a good provision. And it provides that you will pay for services rendered through the termination date. So that's good. There was one item that I saw in the indemnification provision that I believe is a Scrivener's error, and where the word indemnification was left out of section Article 8 in the second line. And so, Mr. Chairman, it has all the other language related to section 768.28, which is the sovereign immunity protection of the district under Florida statute 768.28. It has a good notice provision. It has an independent contractor provision. It has all the other provisions in it that I would look for. The compensation provision is there, and it's clear. There will be two payments that will be given. One will be for each invoice will be for half of the total amount due. And the total amount in this case of the agreement is $65,164. And there's a breakout of how that amount is derived, all of which is reasonable. And so, Mr. Chairman, when it comes time to approve this item, it's on 11C on your agenda. I would support the board approving the agreement with authority for me to make the one change that needs to be made to the language.
While you've got that, just for the benefit of the people here, could you give them a briefing on what this is about and why we're paying them to do this?
Yes, sir. And Mr. Edenfield also knows about this and has been more intimately involved than
Both of you can participate if you would like.
Yes, sir.
But I'd just like you to give the people who showed up a briefing as to, doesn't have to be real in depth, but just let them know why we're, what they do for the money.
Yes, sir. The brief description is they are studying the water coming into, running through, and going out of your canal system to determine if there is any, to establish benchmarks, baselines for the quality of your water. So they're looking at water quality. They're going to study that. They're going to study where it comes into, and they identified four or five places, something like that. I don't remember the exact number where water comes into your canal system. And so they're going to study the water quality, including the water quality at the discharge. Mm-hmm. You have two discharge points. This will help us, and they've even confirmed that this will help us in the event that there is some water quality standards that are become problematic in the future for the district. Then you'll be able to go back and look at this information that they have collected and use it to establish the baseline to see if maybe someone who's putting water into your system is the one who is the real, yes, or the violator, if you will, of your permit requirements. So I think you've heard me say on any number of occasions that your permits, the NPDES permit and other permitting that you have, all require and place standards on the district for water quality. And you have to meet those, even if the water coming into your system from someplace sure. else was bad water. Sure. So this will be very important, very beneficial to the district, something that I had hoped to achieve for some time.
Yeah, well, I understand the importance of that. I do have a question for Ron, though, while we're doing this. Yes. We've got at least 3 points right now of concern, and one happens to be the cement plant. Mm-hmm. The city just put a new pipe into our system, and we have the brooks on the outside to drain into our system. We do have others, but those are the primary ones. Do they pay any special attention to any of these areas where pipes drain into our system, or are they just evaluating our water as a whole? And then if they find a problem, do they narrow that down?
With the long answer or the short answer?
I want to know the real answer.
Okay. They being, I assume you're referring to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection.
I'm referring to the fact we're paying FGCU to do this.
Forgot I moved it.
You're referring to the FDEP, who is the administrator of the NPDES permit in the state of Florida.
Yeah, but I'm referring to FGCU that we're paying to do this.
The program that I've worked with Dr. Duke on is to establish a program for sampling points that will identify, as Richard said, inflows into our system, inclusive of the brooks, the cement plant, and
the new drainage point we have in Bonita.
We can talk about that after a while, but I won't get too hung up on that.
I'm not too concerned about the Bonita Springs right. one because I know they're testing that water.
Right.
So
the goal being is to, as Richard said, to identify what's ours and what's someone else's. Currently, we're responsible for everybody's at our point of discharge.
Sure. I know that.
This program is to differentiate between our water and their water so that we can pull theirs out and chase them or put the DEP into a position to go take action against them if they're the violator.
I know that during the rainy season, for instance, uh-huh. on the back on that, what we consider the ditch coming in from Livingston
right.
back to Stillwell.
Right.
Sometimes when the water gets high there and the runoff from the road, you can see a sheen of oil on it. Mm-hmm. How much of effect that has on anything, whether that counts as anything, but you know whether that is that you know I know that's part of the monitoring system, but mm-hmm. things like that are why we have them doing it to know where it's coming from.
Correct. The primary focus of the program is to identify nutrients.
Okay.
Phosphorus, nitrogen. Those are the two that the permits are truly based on.
How about any other contaminants then?
We will be looking at other things because we would rather know because the rules are subject to change and what we must evaluate for over time. So we're looking at, there'll be, one of the factors we're going to be looking at is aspartame.
Okay.
aspartame is a byproduct of human waste to help us identify whether or not we have a septic tank problem or whether we don't have a septic tank problem.
I know nobody wants to hear that, but I know it's important.
But currently, that's not a required analysis. But we're doing it to get out ahead of that because the state is more and more and more putting forth dollars to local utilities and local municipalities to convert from septic tanks to municipal systems. Most of the areas that they're doing that in are Lehigh, Cape Coral, where you've got 4 or 5 units to an acre. We have 4 or 5, you know, an acre to the unit.
Right.
So much more real estate around us. So it's less likely that we'll be in anybody's crosshairs anytime soon. But I do know that in the long haul, there's a goal to get everyone onto a municipal system.
Right.
So we're just looking forward. So we'll be testing for aspartame.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Did you have anything else, Mr. Pragel? If not, we'll move on.
No, sir, I do actually have one other item.
I was referring to this. But
oh, ahead. No, sir. With this one, I'm done. And then when it comes up under, I think it's item C, I'll be glad to discuss any of the specific provisions in it, but there's just that one change.
Okay.
And the other item, Mr. Chairman, if you are done with that one, if the board is done with that one, and you have no more questions for me about that, then I'll go on to my item number
please,
two.
Please go on.
In my report, and that is in with regard to the Montero case, a final judgment has been entered, Mr. Chairman, in that action. The final judgment adopted the order on the summary judgment motions that were filed by the parties. And, well, I'll read you what the final judgment says before I get there, because the order on the summary judgment motions is the one that has the actual meat to it. The final judgment is really pretty short and says, judgment is hereby entered in favor of defendant San Carlos Estates Water Control District and against plaintiffs Manuel Montero and Elizabeta Montero on counts 2, count 3, count 4, and count 5 of plaintiff's complaint. There was one other count. Count 1 was a temporary injunctive action which did not have to be dealt with in the final judgment and was not ruled against. The district was not ruled against on that count either. That was also in our favor. So, the end result of the final judgment is that on all counts, the district, San Carlos Estates Water Control District, was successful, was the winner on all of those items. Now, I want to read a few of the provisions of the order denying the plaintiff, the Monteros, motions on their summary judgment and granting our cross motions for summary judgment on the counts, the substantive counts in the complaint. And the judge, Judge Schenko, made a number of fact findings and then made several rulings based upon the law and conclusions of law. And he went through the history and spent quite a bit of time going through the history of the district, of its creation, of the Hedden lawsuit. There was a lot of time spent dealing with the Hedden lawsuit, of the fact that in the Hedden lawsuit, an easement was not reserved by Mr. Hedden, and so that was not present. He also spent some time talking about the general release signed by Mr. Hedden and what it meant. He also spent some time talking about the fact that the district had gone through an eminent domain action with regard to the area immediately south of the Monteros property, so that you own that property in fee simple. So we went through all those facts and talked about some of the history of the district with regard to the fact that there was not a dedication ever made of the roads to the public use. Talked about how there was an agreement, and I've made reference to this before, an agreement between the district and the city of Bonita Springs when there was an acknowledgement that the roads were not dedicated to the public and the city did not control the roads or have any maintenance responsibilities for the roads, and the roads were private roads as well. So he made reference to all of that, and then Judge Schenko got into his conclusions of law. And the first thing that he says, the very first sentence is, the court finds that the defendant's roads are private. There's some description that he goes through and says, as a matter of law, there cannot be a public roadway where no public authority accepts a dedication, and the record is silent as to any acceptance by any public authority save the district. In other words, these are district private roads. The second statement that he, conclusion of law that he made was, consistent with the finding that the roads are private and are the works of a district, the court finds that Chapter 298, governing drainage districts, and not Chapter 704, which governs easements generally, controls the resolution of this matter. He went on to talk about, because one of the claims, one of the counts of the Monteros was that they had an easement, if nothing else, a prescriptive easement, to cross the district's right-of-ways. And the judge said, no, that is not true. And Chapter 298 governs. He went on to say, the roads the plaintiffs seek to use are works of a district, and the plaintiffs do not contribute to the maintenance and upkeep of those roads. Pursuant to Florida Statute Section 298.22, subsection 8, the defendant, that's the district, has the right to adopt appropriate resolutions and policies. And the defendant, therefore, the district, therefore, has the right to regulate the use of its roads. He goes on to say Florida Statute Section 298.22, subsection 9, grants the defendant, that's the district, the power to charge reasonable fees for the connection to and use of its infrastructure. Additionally, Florida Statute Section 298.28 requires the plaintiffs, that's the Monteros, to obtain a consent from the district's board, i.e. a permit, to connect to a drainage district's roads. Then he goes on to say later, plaintiffs do not have a right to either a statutory or common law way of necessity. So that took care of some of the other claims that the Monteros had made. Then, in his fourth conclusion of law, he says, in part, the plaintiff's alleged lack of access was created by the plaintiff's predecessor in interest, Mr. Hedden, who successfully sought to be excluded from the district and provided the district with a complete release. It was at that point that owners of the plaintiff's property lost an absolute right to utilize the district's private roads. In other words, there, Mr. Hedden gave away the right to use the district's roads and to access the district's roads, and that right applies to any one who is in his chain of title. Next, the court said, the court finds that the defendant is entitled to summary judgment on plaintiff's claims as it relates to the plaintiff's claims for an implied easement way of necessity. The plaintiffs have failed to meet their burden of proof, including that their preferred path of travel over district roads is absolutely necessary. Summary judgment is proper for the defendant on plaintiff's assertion that the district's roads are public. In other words, they're private roads. They are not public. That's what the plaintiffs had asserted, was that the roads were public roads. Clearly, they are not. There was no offer or dedication by the district, and likewise, there was no acceptance of such non-existent offer dedication. Then he goes on to say, summary judgment is proper for the defendants as to the plaintiff's declaratory judgment and permanent injunction claims because there are no justiciable controversy or clear legal right at stake. Finally, summary judgment is proper for the defendant because plaintiff's claims have been released pursuant to the Hedden settlement with the district in 2007. All of which, prior to the lawsuit being filed, I said to Mr. Montero's lawyers. So then we get down to the ruling. Thank you. I'll take it where I can get it. Here's the substantive part of the ruling, and this is why Mr. Montero has filed a permit application with the district. The judge says, the plaintiffs are able to utilize the defendant's roads, but only pursuant to a district's rights of control, which are set forth in Florida Statute Chapter 298, including complying with all conditions for obtaining a permit. That's not my word, that's his word. And paying connection and use fees imposed by the defendant. That's the district. So you are authorized by this final judgment and by law, which is recognized in this final judgment. This final judgment did not create any additional rights for the district. This final judgment just acknowledges and recognizes the rights the district has that I'd been saying for some time the district has. Including on a number of occasions before when I've said the district's roads are private roads, subject to the control and authority of the district, including the ability of the district to require a permit for connection to the district right-of-ways to be acquired by any property owner, including property owners within the district as well. So this ruling substantiates what has been said for some time and validates what has been said for some time. And the result is, Mr. and Mrs. Montero, in recognition of the authority the district has made a permit application to the district for a connection to North Strike Lane. As indicated by the judge and as indicated by Mr. Edenfield, this matter will come back before the board for an ultimate decision as to what permit conditions you place upon the issuance of a permit to the Monteros for access to the district's roads. And those can include paying connection and use fees that are imposed by the district. So those are all the findings in the order of summary judgment. This was rendered some time ago, but final judgment was not rendered until recently. There has been subsequently to the filing of the final judgment, we have filed a motion to tax costs to the tune of actual out-of-pocket costs to the tune of $28,898. The district has spent a great deal more than that in total on legal fees to defend the district's authority and rights under the statute and under the documents that created the district. It is unfortunate, however, you don't have a statutory authority to recover those fees from the Monteros. So that is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that this lawsuit was ever filed. There were opportunities and offers made for solutions to occur, and unfortunately those were summarily rejected and a lawsuit was filed, and here we are at the end finding that the district was right all along, and the district's control and authority of the district's private roads are validated and verified. Once again, they were validated and verified before with the bond validation final judgments, but now they're verified and validated once again. So that's it. Took a long time to get here, but here we are.
So we're actually done with this now.
Yes, sir. Done with the lawsuit. The Monteros have an application pending for a driveway connection. That's the next step in the process of wrapping this matter up.
Is this something, because it really requires participation by the board members, is this something that should require a special meeting or anything just for that purpose, or how should we proceed forward with that? I mean, this is new territory for the board.
Yes, sir. It most likely will take some time, and I'm looking at Mr. Edenfield. It most likely will take some time to go through the proposed permit and the permit conditions before the board. And so, can you set a special meeting? Yes, or you can. Do you have to? You don't have to.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you and Mr. Edenfield work on this for the course of this month?
Yes. And see,
you can verbally keep the board members apprised of what you're doing. Not all together, one at a time. They can't tell each other what's going on, just so everybody knows.
I won't violate the sunshine.
So, but then at the next board meeting, we can see where we're at and see whether or not we believe that it should require a special meeting or not for that purpose only. I can see where there's a lot of detail that has to go into this, and
a great deal of thought.
Yeah, it may not be the only time we have to contend with this, so we hopefully can get it right.
Yes, sir. So we will work on a permit and permit conditions to bring before the board, and then go through, and as indicated by the court, the board will issue the permit. That was consistent with what we've previously done. Anytime a user outside the district boundaries wants to use district right-of-ways for any sort, including water, the conveyance of water, that's an item for the board to decide, no, not us. So we'll bring this one back. But I would like to have an opportunity to review in detail some permit conditions. There, as indicated, the use fee is an item to discuss and resolve. So that's something, and in addition to all the other concerns that we have related to the actual use of the district's right-of-ways, that's just one item. The connection and the use fees is just the one item. That was mentioned by the judge. That's why I mentioned it.
I heard you. Question I might add is, would it be advantageous in any way, although the ultimate decision comes back to the board and the ultimate way it's managed and handled comes back to the board, would there be any reason to get a hold of the Southwest Florida Water Management District, for instance, finding out if they've had any similarities, that, or would that just be complicating things?
I don't believe so, no, sir, because they don't normally handle right-of-way access like this. Their
more
access
just water.
Is water conveyances, okay. Yes or not.
And now that you mentioned that, I agree with you. Because their conveyances run along county roads and state roads.
Correct.
And stuff.
Yes, sir. On that note, Attorney Levedecker, if you remember, does represent and has been involved in other litigation similar to this on the East Coast, where a right-of-way for access purposes was the center of the lawsuit. And so it may be advantageous to see if there are any permit conditions that were issued in that other case. And I can ask him. I'm sure he'll share those with me if there are permit conditions. But I think it's going to be in large part a determination of the impact on the right-of-way and what's fair and reasonable in comparison to the landowners of the district and what they have to pay to use the district's roads.
Well, I would only remind you that the landowners paid for the roads, constructed the roads, paid for the ditches, constructed the ditches, has maintained the ditches all of these years, and paid for the cleaning of the easements around that property in all of the years that they have avoided paying any fees whatsoever. And I would think that, you know, they should be subjected to at least probably the equal amount that the current landowners pay for the use of the roads. That's only a suggestion. I don't know why they should get any less than what we pay.
I suspect that whatever, and as you know, the permit that you issue and the permit conditions that you issue will be up to the Board of Supervisors to decide in your discretion, being fair and reasonable. So I don't know at this point.
No, I'm not asking you for an answer now.
There's just not a yes or, well, my point was going to be, there's nobody other than the board. This is the point. There's nobody other than the board at this place, at this juncture, who has any say. The lawsuit is concluded. Mm-hmm. And so it's back to this board to decide how to proceed. We'll present to you, and then you can make your decision.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, that's the completion of the attorney's report?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Moving forward. Amendments to the meeting agenda. Jennifer, you got any?
No.
I don't have any. Moving forward. Public input on business agenda items. 3-minute limit. Anybody have anything on the agenda items? If not, we're moving forward. 11, business agenda items requiring action. A, meeting minutes approval for March 16th, 2026 board meeting. Jennifer?
Approve.
Aye. Motion carries. Financial B, financial reports approval for 3/31/26 bank statements and 3/31/26 financial reports. Jennifer?
Approve.
Aye. Motion carries. C, review of agreement with FGCU for water quality monitoring.
If I may.
You may.
Just a little bit about.
Thank
just
you.
A little bit about the dollars and cents on this agreement. As Pringle indicated earlier, the total amount is $65,164, and that will be split into two payments. One that will not be due until November of 2026, which is going to be FY 2026-27, so it's actually next fiscal year. The balance in an equal payment of $32,582 would not be due until January 2028, so that would put it into fiscal year 27-28. So what we're looking to do is to get the board's approval for those dollars, which will include evaluation and sampling gathering throughout the district, as we discussed earlier, as well as a synthesis of that data.
Clarification.
Yes, sir.
What does this amount of money, what period of time does it cover?
It covers between now, May 1st, and January 10th of 2028. Is when the final report will be deliverable to us.
So this is a more than a two-year program?
Correct.
Okay, so this isn't per year, this is?
No.
Okay.
No, it's two payments over two fiscal years of $32,582 each. And again, it will incorporate collection of data, synthesis of data, and then recommendations and report on the final end of that. And we'll be able to, our hope is to be able to come out of this and establish from this benchmark a ongoing monitoring program on into the future that we can build on this information with to be able to characterize the district's water quality going forward, and thus be able to report in the affirmative that we are meeting all the standards for the state of Florida.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So we simply need
a motion to approve the agreement and authorize the chair to sign after I make the one correction.
What do you want to do?
You can do it.
All right, motion carries.
Wait, you going to read the motion or?
It was.
Oh, this is good. Okay. Yes. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been a long time to get here, much like litigation.
Long time.
Okay.
Public input.
Item 12, public input, 3 minutes. Anybody have anything?
David Cook, 24809 Dietz Drive. I want to know what was the plan to open up Benita Bill between Red Robin and Rodas. It's been closed with some type of private property, no trespassing signings since Audrey Medeiros was the manager. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. Anybody else?
John Gangus, Lucy Drive. Am I understanding right now with this Moniero case, would the fee be per acre or per his whole parcel? That's
okay.
A question.
I understand that. This isn't normally a Q&A. You normally give us your input for us to listen to you, and then we'll try to get an answer from that.
I guess I'm wondering if
to answer your,
I feel it should be per parcel.
Okay, that's the kind of input we're looking for.
You know, because of his property is very large, and is it going to be a one-time fee or is it going to be, because we all pay it as an acre and a quarter or an acre, whatever. And I'm not sure what the fee is now, but it was $20,000 before. Mm-hmm. So, and that was per acre. So, and he's got 17 acres or something. I have no clue.
16.
I do want to just respond to that. $20,000 isn't per acre. Nobody pays $20,000 per acre.
Well,
you said $20,000
per acre. $21,000.
Per acre.
Correct.
Where'd that number come from?
I don't know. That's what I paid.
He's talking about when he did
that. Were you talking about the road project?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Misunderstood you. I thought you were talking about your annual fee. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and he would be required to do that as far as having that road to him. I'm assuming.
Okay.
At least I would hope so.
Thank you very much. Okay, I know that you wanted to talk to us about the sign, the road speed signs.
Jason Lucas, I'm over on 25314 Pinson Drive. The way that the algorithm works for like the GPS in your car or on your phone, it goes through a Google system, and when they're doing these street view cars that drive through the streets, so you get those cool views, it actually analyzes the street, posted street sign, so if it says speed limit 35, it'll automatically input that into their algorithm. If it is not posted, it'll usually use other residential areas that are posted and/or comply with like state, local, or municipality speed limits within that jurisdiction. So that's how they distinguish that on your up on your speedometer. That's how that's distinguished. So okay. As far as getting it changed, like if you change it tomorrow to 15 miles per hour, you may have to talk to FDOT about it and see what they can if they could change that, and then they'll submit that to other agencies to update their systems as well. So
okay,
that's how it works. Easy peasy.
Thank you very much for your input. Any other questions?
Was the agreement, Donna from Stillwell Parkway, was the agreement ever turned into the police department that, you know, with them having to police our roads? John said he was going to do it.
Yeah, we have an agreement.
Because they don't ever police Donna, they don't ever police my road.
I know. Present your question to us. This isn't really a Q&A. And I know. And we'll try.
I just want to know if it was turned in. That's all.
Answering your question, yes.
Okay, Mary Ann Kay from Cock Robin Lane. I have a question. There's been several lawsuits, and would it be possible at the next meeting to do an analysis of how much it's cost the residents for all these lawsuits? Would that be possible?
I'll put
an account?
Yes. Okay.
So we can put it on the agenda?
We will. Okay. Again, we're trying not to make this a Q&A, so just ask us what you would like to have, and then...
That's what I would like
okay.
to have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Moving on. Supervisor comments.
I'm good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No comments. Meeting's now adjourned. Thank you all very much for coming.
I had a question. That might take me a little while to speak.
When they open up to put that bike path in, are people going to be able to ride for it?
I have no idea what that's going to entail.
And then Bonita Bay,
and I'll have to kind of look and see how all that works.
If you want to go get that,
so that might be something we have to start thinking about.
Yeah, because it really depends on that.
That's what it would take, another gate.
And it might be something that
For sure.
Solicit enough people to come and vote.
Right.
Okay.
That's all it takes.
Okay.
So.
But what are you doing? Well, whatever. I know with two gates, but a lot of problems.